This is World Business Report from the BBC. The main headlines. Switzerland's oldest private bank has decided to close after admitting helping American account holders evade tax. The budget airline Fastjet claims failure by African countries to invest in aviation is restricting the industry's growth. And South Africa risks an international trade dispute after increasing tariffs on imports of pasta. Hello, I'm Russell Padmore at the BBC's Business Unit. After more than two centuries, the Swiss bank Vagelin is to close after its management pleaded guilty in a US court to helping American customers evade more than $1 billion in tax. The bank, which was founded in 1741, was fined nearly $58 million. The United States has been aggressively pursuing foreign banks to force them to identify account holders who might be hiding money in offshore tax havens. Professor Richard Werner, a banking expert at Southampton University, says the case is a milestone in efforts to curb Swiss banking secrecy.
Clearly, the American authorities have headed in for the Swiss banks. Well, some UK banks also recently got into trouble with the American authorities, but particularly Switzerland has been sort of the focus of American authorities' attention for the last 10 years. And I think this is a major further victory, which could have significant ramifications for all other Swiss banks.
And that long-held tradition of banking secrecy looks like it's coming to a significant end.
Well, by Swiss laws, you know, there still is Swiss banking secrecies. And we notice that if we compare the agreements between, say, the Swiss authorities and the German government or Switzerland and Austria and so on, these agreements basically to hand over tax payments to these authorities of clients domiciled in these countries, they all included clauses that the confidentiality would be maintained. So the Swiss banking secrecy still exists, but clearly the increasing number of holes in it.
It appears to me that this is yet another, perhaps really significant step in global efforts to clamp down on tax havens, particularly countries like Switzerland. It's going to become a thing of the past. They're going to have to adapt to the new global environment.
Clearly, in the last 10 years, but especially since the banking crisis, since 2008, the regulatory supervisory authorities have really clamped down on banks, and in line with that also the tax authorities, particularly in America but also in some other countries. So life has become clearly much harder for bankers, and it looks like things are changing to some extent, but of course the bankers are likely to fight back, and they'll find ways one can expect to get around the new regulations.
Banking expert Professor Richard Werner. The budget airline Fastjet claims the poor state of the aviation sector in many African countries is holding back the continent's potential for economic growth. The carrier, which launched two new routes in Tanzania a month ago, insists the conditions of rapid economic growth and political stability make this the right time for an airline to break into the African market. However, Fastjet's chief executive, Ed Winter, says the continent could perform even better.
Look around the world and aviation growth goes hand in hand with economic growth. But you look at Africa, internal trade is way lower than anywhere else in the world. And if people can't move around the continent, if you can't move reliably, you're not going to have that economic development. And I think that's something we bring. And so we've had lots of discussions with governments already in Africa to show them the benefits of reducing some of their taxation, because that's been an inhibitor to aviation and allowing us to develop.
South Africa could face an embarrassing international legal battle over its decision to increase tariffs on imports of spaghetti and other pasta products. The government is raising the tax on foreign pasta to 40% in an effort to protect the business of manufacturers within the country. Nations can apply taxes to imports to shield local companies from foreign competition, but it's only permitted by the World Trade Organization when it's proven that imports are unfairly subsidised. Rian Geldenhuys is a legal expert in global trade at the Trade Law Chambers in Cape Town.
It's all aimed at protecting the local pasta makers, specifically Sasco Pasta. They're the predominant player in the market. They have roughly over 80% of the market share in the entire SACU. So the makers of all pasta within the Southern African Customs Union. But yeah, predominantly then for Sasco Pasta, who brought the actual application. The rate of duty is already quite high. It's already at 30% prior to the application being approved.
Do you think this is going to develop into an international problem for South Africa? Maybe it's a big embarrassment when perhaps right now there are maybe more pressing economic issues that the government should be pursuing.
I don't think that this is going to become an international embarrassment. It will typically be resolved domestically, which will be a very quiet scenario for South Africa to face. And due to our past, I think that the times that we did get into WTO disputes, South Africa has always been quite amicable to settle it very quietly and diplomatically and to avoid litigation at the WTO.
Rian Geldenhuys from the Trade Law Chambers in Cape Town. The price of gold was fixed at $1,633 an ounce in London this morning. Brent crude oil is trading at $111.37 a barrel. The energy market's right now digesting employment data from the US, showing 155,000 new jobs created in December. This is the BBC.
You're listening to the World Business Report on the BBC World Service from London.
Egypt's central bank has spent a week selling its reserves of foreign currency in an effort to stop the nation's pound currency sliding in value. However, the daily auctions appear to be having little success. The Egyptian pound is taking a hit because foreign investors are losing confidence in the government's management of the economy. The fall in the value of the currency makes imports like oil and food more expensive. And higher prices for consumers is a worrying development in a country where civil unrest is now commonplace. Neil Shearing is the chief emerging markets economist at Capital Economics.
Since the Arab Spring revolution started at the start of 2011, the Central Bank of Egypt has really been intervening ferociously in the foreign exchange markets to prevent the Egyptian pound from falling in the face of first capital flight from Egypt because of the political uncertainty, but also a loss of export earnings too, particularly from tourism.
These auctions that have been held every day this week of foreign currency, effectively the bank is still trying to protect the value of the Egyptian pound, maybe though unsuccessfully.
It is, but it's doing so in a far more transparent way than it was doing before. Don't forget that it has previously been selling dollars and buying Egyptian pound effectively to prevent the pound from falling, but it was doing this effectively behind closed doors. Now it's doing it through an auction on the markets. It's very transparent. It's making clear exactly how many dollars it's selling each day. And I think this marks a shift in policy related to the fact that effectively it's starting to run out of foreign exchange reserves.
Has the bank reached the stage where it's virtually exhausted its ammunition to protect the pound, and therefore it should maybe just accept the obvious? The currency perhaps should be devalued.
There's a grudging acceptance amongst policymakers that this is what has to happen now. The bank really has run out of firepower. There is no other solution now other than to let the pound fall.
We know that the International Monetary Fund is due to visit Egypt this month. A lot of talk about this loan, which is worth nearly $5 billion. The government in Cairo really needs the money, doesn't it?
The government needs the money desperately, and not just to fund either the government deficit or to help roll over its debt. It needs it really to help anchor investor sentiments, I think. Once we get an IMF programme in place, I think we'll see other sources of external financing assistance coming into place, particularly from Gulf states, also potentially from the World Bank, from the European Bank of Reconstruction and Development. And we'll see private sector investment flow back into the country, I suspect, as well.
Neil Shearing from Capital Economics. He'll be keeping an eye on the markets in London, where the 100 share index is 0.4% higher at 60.69. Now, there's more analysis of why that private Swiss bank Vagelin is closing. It's on our website for you. You'll find us online at bbcworldservice.com/business.
BBC. Welcome to the future. The great what if. At a time when there is so much change across the globe, the future can be hard to see. The BBC explores how the world may look in the years to come in a series of special programmes and features.
Imagine the future with the BBC on radio, on TV, and online.